This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin, who's got a mouthful of ice cream at the moment.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
You know,
they're all scoffing ice cream in the studio now.
You do know that Sally must be a magical witch as well, because she's brought in the honeycomb, which is my one weakness.
The honeycomb was always my favourite flavour from Simply Ice Cream.
Heavenly honeycomb is absolutely gorgeous. And
do you remember?
Isn't it?
The studio.
Can we cancel the show now?
Yeah. Our studio, when we first started, used to be down on Dimchurch at Hagland's Farm.
Mm.
And there was a bistro next to us that stocked Simply Ice Cream. Mm. And Ruth, who ran it at the time, I had words with her and said, I don't want any of this other stuff. I just want honeycomb, please.
It is gorgeous. Although I have to say, because we're going to be talking to Sally about it, you can't beat a good vanilla. You cannot beat a good vanilla, can you?
No, that's the benchmark.
But this is, for me, this is the right consistency, because we were a bit worried because we have a heat wave, and you brought it in a little bag, didn't you? And sort of under your arm, swinging about. And we popped it in the studio fridge, but this is absolutely perfect, because sometimes when you get ice cream out and it's too cold, you don't get the flavour. And let's bring in Claudette, because Claudette's scoffing a lovely
She did that deliberately. She waited until you took a mouthful.
No, I'm doing it so I can have a mouthful while Claudette chats. Come on. Yeah. So just run us through how it tastes, Claudette.
It's just really creamy.
Mm.
It's got that hint, you know, that sticky gooiness taste you get on the honeycomb when you eat it. Got that sort.
It runs all the way through. Yeah.
Really delicious. It's really good.
It is really, really good. Is this one of your, Sally, is this one of your top sellers?
Yeah, it is. It's actually always been
not
the top seller.
Not just lots of deliveries to Tenterton.
No. Oh, yeah. Honeycomb's always been our best seller, followed by vanilla. These days, actually, salted caramel's really popular as well.
Right.
Yeah, because they're quite similar, aren't they? Salted caramel and a honeycomb. They've got that sweetness and that. It's dreamy, isn't it, Claudette?
It's really.
Right, shall we do this officially?
Yeah.
Shall we introduce Sally?
Yeah, do it.
It's a pleasure to welcome. I cannot believe this is the first time that we've had Sally on the show. I was so convinced in my own mind that we'd had Sally on the show before, but we obviously haven't.
I think we've spoken over the phone, but I've never been into the studio.
Okay. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here now, Sally, and thank you so much for joining us. Sally is from Simply Ice Cream, as you may have guessed, and also is a major winner from the awards. Now, you won loads of awards, didn't you?
We did. Yeah, it was very exciting. Although I couldn't be there, sadly. So we were finalists in the Women in Business, and my poor husband had to go up on stage, which I don't think he's forgiven me for yet. And then Small Business of the Year.
Yeah.
And then I think we won the overall, didn't we?
Indeed. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Which is brilliant and very well deserved. Why don't you kick off by... What way should we do this? Well, tell us a little bit about the history of Simply Ice Cream. What inspired you to start it? When did you start it? How did you start it?
Okay, well, I've always had a catering business as well.
Right.
So on the back of the catering, we actually set the ice cream up.
Right.
So did you start making ice cream as part of your catering business?
Yes, I think I was about 14. It was my mother's catering business, and I made ice cream for that. And then actually I went to Australia when I was 18, and I was over there for nearly 6 years. So I worked as a chef over there. They don't have double cream in the same way we do. So
do they not?
No.
What do they use?
It's sort of whipping cream, so it's just not quite as indulgent. But I did make it over there. And then when I came back, my mother's partner wanted to retire, so I took over. And then had four children, a bit like Claudette.
There's a lot of it about, isn't there?
Yeah.
I've had three, and that was quite enough.
the ice cream was an idea that came about because the brides or the guests and things were coming into the kitchen at the weddings and saying, where can we buy the ice cream? And at the time...
So they loved it so much?
Yeah. So we'd get lots of people asking. So the idea was that we would sell into retail. My husband was working in London at the time. You know, we were sort of single parents. We never saw the kids together. So we were sort of starting to resent that a little bit. So the idea was we'd sell into retail, have our weekends back. which was totally naive because obviously we've never stopped.
Yeah.
And I mean, the catering business is still ongoing. My mother's going to retire at the end of this year, and we will stop at the end of this year. But we are still doing some catering.
And what's the catering business called?
Well, it's Simply Catering Kent, but we okay. really are stopping.
Honest.
I've been trying to do that.
Just one last event, and then we're stopping.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I couldn't go to the award ceremony, actually, because we had a funeral the next day. And, I didn't have time. So we set the business up in October 2005, but literally one farm shop, very local to us. And then into the Good Shed, Lee, Murray's General Stores, and McNaid's, and then Perry Court. And from there, it just sort of grew. 2008, we went into Waitrose, and that was really the start of it, because we decided that, you know, up until that point, you know, we're still doing sort of 80 functions a year and trying to sort of juggle. But 2008, we thought, actually, let's give this a go.
Okay.
So it's grown from there, really.
Can I ask you a question? And I don't mean this to sound patronising or rude in any way, but it's my experience. Especially in Kent, there's a lot of catering-type businesses, or a lot of people that invent foods like sauces and all kinds of things, which tend to be recipes that they've invented themselves or inherited from a grandmother or something like that. People like it, and it's what I call a kitchen table business. So they start making stuff like this, and then they reach a point where you've got to move from kitchen table to production. And so many businesses can't make that jump. Have you had to make that jump?
Definitely. I mean, I think, you know, we were quite lucky in that we started off in the kitchen, and then we actually built our house when was it? 2001.
Right.
And we had an extension put on the house, and then realised we actually needed the bedrooms. We didn't need the space downstairs, so we turned that into a sort of factory space.
This is a bit like the tea lady. Who's our tea lady when I get you the tea from for your birthday?
Do you mean?
In Thanet.
I know you mean.
Property company or one of those. She's just done exactly the same. I was wanting her to come on the
debonair tea.
She's done exactly the same, so it must be a really good idea, except you probably never stop working.
Louise, thank you. She's got young children too, and I think that was the sort of premise behind it, because I didn't want to not be a hands-on mum as well. To be able to work from home,
run a business,
and you know, the kids were outside in the garden. I could see them most of the time. Sure. They were pretty feral.
They were tied up. Swinging.
Completely feral. But that was sort of how we started. And then we actually employed mums. So we worked from 9 till 3 and just built the business from there, really.
Cool.
What a fantastic idea to employ mums. And have the working hours that are enabling other women to see their kids at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, it was lovely. And, I think when your kids are little, there's so much going on, and you miss out on so much if you can't, you know, sort of have a job that works around them.
Totally agree. Like, I remember coming home from school, and when you're a mum, you notice if they've had a bad day or a good day, if they're with a nanny or going off to childcare or whatever. It doesn't get seen like that, does it? It doesn't get noticed. But when you're a mum, you notice those moods.
And just to be able to go to sort of, you know, assemblies and that sort of thing. So we've always tried to be really flexible with the workforce and things. And I think, you know, over the years, that's worked in our favour because, you know, on the whole, they're very loyal.
Right. Okay. I now want to talk exclusively ice cream.
Right.
Okay. So did you say you were 14 or so when you first started knocking out ice cream?
Just sort of mucking around in the kitchen. But yeah, the ice cream itself, I mean, we started off with chocolate, honeycomb and strawberry.
But your ice cream is superb.
I can't actually stop. I mean, I want to lick this whole thing.
I don't even want to know that. It's just so different from you, Walls, Lion's Mane nonsense that you get.
It's real, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's where I'm trying to focus this, the start point of at what point did you start making ice cream? Why did you start making your own ice cream? And how did you think about it when you start, if that doesn't sound like a stupid question?
Did you ever have a little ice cream maker as a child?
No, I think, you know, my mother having had this catering business, food was always around.
Yeah, of course.
And then when I was at school doing A-levels, I actually did a sitting guild chef's thing as well at Canterbury College.
Right.
And then went to Australia and actually they needed chefs. So right. That's how I got my... I'm an Australian citizen.
Right.
So I worked as a chef the entire time I was there.
Right.
And I think, you know, sort of that's just always been sort of in our family.
Right.
So I think it was sort of a natural progression. I mean, well, a natural progression. I studied law.
well, so that's obvious, Sally. Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, do you know what? She must have studied law at some point to start making honeycomb ice cream. Otherwise,
I suppose studied law, got pregnant. That's the problem.
Did you actually ever work as a lawyer?
No, because I did 2 years, but I had Jess. I actually started the degree in the October, and Jess was born in the December. And then the end of the following year, I was pregnant with Matt. So, and at that stage, I sort of looked and thought, you know, this isn't going to work. I mean, Jess was a brilliant baby and slept a lot, but I think, you know, it just got to a point where, because I also had a pub at the time.
And
a health and beauty
clinic, actually. Did you? Yeah, goodness. Where was the pub?
The pub was in Canterbury.
What was it called?
Two Sawyers.
Okay.
So the what, sorry?
The Two Sawyers.
It was around the back.
And where was the beauty?
That was Evegate Health and Beauty.
Wow.
So that was, I sort of partnered with Tris, whose mother had run it for years. But I was teaching the aerobics, because that's also what I'd done in Australia, so I sort of did that.
No, you were in your spare time.
Yeah. And what is your...
Hold on.
I was listening to Claudette Sagittarius, but thinking she has a lot of energy.
Yeah, if we combined like a transformer, we could make a mega business.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the only trouble is you'd have about 400 kids.
Well, they'll open a school, won't they?
We're finished, aren't we, with that?
Yeah. But I'm blown away. We've got two lady entrepreneurs here that have done amazing things, but not just in one thing, but in dozens of things, whilst podding out kids all over the place. in between doing all of this. I mean, it's just staggering what you ladies have done. Okay, so You started to make ice cream back here as a commercial venture, let's put it that way. What's special about your ice cream?
Well, we actually make it by hand. Yeah. So that's the difference.
You can tell.
So we hand whisk everything. And the ingredients are ingredients you'd recognise. So, you know, fresh strawberries. So in the strawberry ice cream, it's literally double cream, milk and sugar.
None of those emulsifiers. And that's why you can taste it. It's just creamy, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. And I mean, the honeycomb itself, we make every morning fresh. So, you know, so if you buy in honeycomb, it's usually coated in a fat to stop it from melting. But I think that's where the difference is. It's, you know, it sort of does melt into the
ice cream. I'd quite like to be adopted. She's got, you know, a couple of kids. She wouldn't notice me.
She's got room for a few more.
Yeah, she wouldn't notice me, would she?
I think, you know, sort of the ice cream, obviously with sort of Brexit and the pandemic and things, it's had its ups and downs over the last 5-6 years.
Were home people ordering it in?
Well, do you know, sort of... The pandemic actually for us, albeit, you know, it was devastating for, you know, business across the board. I mean, I think we had about 70% of our businesses closed. But it did allow me time to sort of work on the business again. And we set up an e-commerce platform, but it was probably too late for that pandemic bit.
Right.
So although it's working really well now, and we can ship ice cream now across the UK very easily, it was quite a sort of late.
Yeah. Better late than never, Sally.
Well,
better
I
late
know.
Than
that's,
never.
That's
yeah. You're ready for the next one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, for the monkeypox.
Yeah, we're going to have monkeypox soon, yeah. Okay. So you've kind of moved online from that point of view. How do you see the business growing in other areas? Is it something that you're keen to do to make it really massive, or
Not massive, but I think, I mean, we, again, during the pandemic, we launched a franchise distribution partnerships. So we have one franchise in Suffolk now. So she distributes to sort of pubs and restaurants and
right. shops. But you make it.
We make it.
And you make it and yeah. send it to so her and she
like
sells
to,
it.
To grow that.
Yeah.
We've actually just moved site. So we have moved out of our home site because my mother's now living with us and that's going to be her little annex.
Right.
Mm. So we have, we've just moved to Hinks Hill. So that's taken about 18 months.
So what have you got, a little sort of factory type thing there?
Yeah, it's about 5,500 square foot, which actually when we sort of added up what we, because I mean over the years at home we have, you know, we've got, we had three packaging sheds, we had three walk-in freezers.
You could, if you'd have demolished those sheds, you could have had a massive forest the size of the Black Forest in there.
Yeah, magical forest you could have
had. They're into B&Bs now.
Oh, are they?
You can come see our little,
oh,
like,
yeah.
trees down there.
Exactly. Oh, good. I love a tree.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, I think it's been a long time coming, and I think, you know, we've planned this for probably about 6 years, but obviously right. just everything that's happened over the last 6 years just threw a spanner in the works every time.
And, of course, yeah.
We were about to move to the gearing site in March 2020,
right.
End of March, right. and obviously, you know, come the 16th of March, that was it, really, and I just had right. to ring them.
So is that the site by the tank roundabout?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Mm. So that was the plan, but obviously I had to let that one go because, you know, sort of overnight we just lost, you know, 2/3
yeah,
of our business, and we just weren't sure what was going to happen
sure.
moving forward. So.
Well, this was a lot of the problems with the pandemic, is that you couldn't predict tomorrow. Yeah. You know, government kept saying, right, you can open. No, you can't. Yes, you can. No, you can't. Yeah. I own Fruitworks in Canterbury, which is a community workspace. Yeah. Day one of the pandemic, we had to close. We had 120 businesses in there. They all left. I hemorrhaged money. Then a while later, the government said, right, you can open. We started filling up and they went, no, you've got to close again.
Yeah.
It was costing us more to open and close, open and close, open and close, than it was just to close.
Yeah,
yeah, so it was difficult. Yeah. I get that,
yeah.
certainly.
Yeah.
So, right, I've lost track a little bit here.
Yeah. So we've moved to this new premises and the plan.
And where are the new premises?
Hinks Hill.
Hinks Hill.
So it's sort of behind the William Harvey.
Right, yes, yep. Yeah,
that's great, you know, the amount of time I spend in A&E there.
Yeah, she's up there all the time.
I could just hop in and get a couple of tubs while I'm there.
Well, yeah,
that's what I should do.
The friends of, you know, the cafe.
Oh, do they do it?
Yeah, in the William Harvey.
Simply Ice Cream is in yeah, Harvey. I know, because my mum was in hospital and I bought her some. My mum is an ice cream maven. She's terrible. She's absolutely terrible. I went the other day, on Thursday. She rang me before I went. I go and visit her every day. She's at home, and she rang me on Thursday. She said, could you bring a tub of ice cream with you? A big tub. Yeah, okay. So I bought a big tub of ice cream on Thursday. On Sunday, she said, could you get me some more ice cream? And I went, why? She said, I've eaten it. I said, no, you can't possibly have eaten that whole tub in 3 days. I go to the fridge. Yeah, she ate a lot.
You can't blame her. I would.
Mm.
I mean, like, I've had that and I would lick that completely out and probably chew the cardboard. It's so good.
You would. She would.
It's so delicious. But I think all that came from America. You know, when you see like Friends and those American things where they sit and they eat like whole tubs of stuff with a spoon.
Yeah.
And that's often sort of triggered me when I see that and you see the size, like if you go cinema, the size of popcorn and things.
Yeah.
That all came from America.
Yeah, but not only do I eat that, it's rubbish as well. It's that Ben and Jerry's nonsense, isn't it? And Haagen-Dazs and all that, which is just sugar.
But you can actually, when Sally said this was handmade, I mean, I wouldn't have ever dreamt that a company like this would hand make everything, but you can tell from the texture and the flavour that it's, I'm sorry you're not having any, it's just, you know,
what she's doing? She keeps wafting it in front of me because she knows damn well I'm, at any minute now I'm going to dive over there and I'm going to eat one with it and I don't care about the consequences.
Yeah.
So, how many pots a day do you make?
It varies at the moment a lot.
Because they're different sizes, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
No, so this is your mini pot.
That's the little mini pot. So that's sort of seasonal and theatres. And then we do the 500ml for take home. And then hospitality, there's a 2-litre and a 4.75.
Right.
So that's sort of the scooping size.
Right.
And we have, at the moment, we've got about 34 flavours in the range. And we've just introduced a dog ice cream in the last.
So what is the difference? Is it dairy-free?
The dog?
Or has it got...
The dog's made with a low-fat yogurt. Because they are lactose intolerant, really. So they shouldn't have high lactose. But it, again, it's the ethos is it's a very natural product. So it's sort of fresh bananas and blueberries and things. So, and that's another squeeze.
So, but a human could eat that.
Yeah, it could.
So why? Yeah. Presumably, it could be an anybody ice cream.
Yeah, but I think, you know, sort of, I suppose, I was a production manager, Charlotte, who wanted to do dog ice cream. And I think, you know, there's an awful lot of people who will buy a pot of ice cream for their dog or give it a Mr. Whippy or, and actually really shouldn't. I think, you know.
Because dogs love ice cream, don't they? I mean, if you wave an ice cream anywhere near a dog.
I've never given mine ice cream. Dog will eat anything,
won't
it, really?
Yeah,
especially rescue dogs.
Yeah.
But when I got my dog from Dogs Trust, they said give her high reward stuff, cheese. And I thought, really? I thought that most dogs shouldn't have cheese. I was quite shocked that they said that. Yeah. But
my dog won't eat its dinner. Amanda's dog won't eat. No, won't eat its dinner unless you grate cheese on it.
Really? Mm. Well, it's Greek, you see. It's a Greek dog.
It's a Greek dog. It's feta. Got to have cheese.
It's got to have feta.
It's a Greek dog.
Mind you, you can't really grate feta, can you? It's quite hard to
crumble.
Grate
you crumble. You crumble.
Yeah.
You crumble.
Oh yeah, a couple of
and
tomatoes.
That's goats, isn't it?
So,
maybe goat is easier. But I was going to say that when I was in Moraira in Spain, they have a lot of on the seafront, lots of yogurt ice cream that, you know, is supposedly healthier, but they put so much sugar in it, you know, but it's sold as healthy. And you have to be really careful to read the labels, don't you? And obviously this, you're going to eat this as an indulgent treat. But if you're going for a yogurt ice cream, you're expecting it to be maybe just fruit and live yogurt, but it isn't out there. It's very, very sweet, I found. Yeah. So maybe I'd have the dog ice cream.
Yeah. I think, you know, the trouble
they've got Bonio flavour.
You do have to put sugar in for scoopability.
And for what? You know, what's the reason?
It's really the scoopability. So, you know, if you're not using emulsifiers and stabilisers and things, that does help with the scoopability of an ice cream.
So how does sugar help then? Because it's granules, isn't it?
Yeah, but it needs to be melted into it. But it's, I mean, it's a bit like alcohol. The more sugar or the more alcohol, the more scoop it will be. So if you're doing an alcoholic ice cream, you can only use a tiny bit of alcohol. So our rum and raisin and things, you can't put too much rum in, but we tend to soak the raisins first.
Right.
So that's where the sort of flavour comes from.
Right.
Claudette, have you got a fridge at your abode, you know, your theatres, your
hoodin?
Because I was thinking that would be a lovely thing to have behind the bar, these little things, wouldn't they?
It would be, but we have got a fridge, but we haven't got a freezer.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that's what I meant. I meant a freezer.
Okay, two questions. What's your most unusual flavour?
Dog.
No, leaving aside the dog. It's a big seller in Korea, isn't it?
Probably the brown bread.
Brown.
Oh yeah, how do you do that?
Hold on, I saw this
on Twitter.
Hold on, brown bread.
Brown bread.
Brown bread.
So that's caramelised brown bread.
Wow.
Stirred into the base mix.
See, that's healthy. Brown bread's healthy.
So hang on, that is like bread and butter pudding almost, wouldn't it be?
No, not really.
What inspired you to do brown bread ice cream?
Do you know, I don't know. And I was doing a trade show the day after I made it, and I took some samples. And because I hadn't had time to try it, I was literally sort of sampling it. And it was because I don't even know where it came from, to be honest, in terms of why we did it. But so many people were like, oh, my grandmother used to make this. So it's obviously a thing, or was a thing. But yeah, I hadn't.
And is it like a spicy type of thing or a...
No, it's just quite sort of chewy, sweet bread. It is bread.
Wow.
It's an ice cream sandwich. Yeah.
So then they could go and do sourdough and all sorts, couldn't they? They could go wild.
Do you do licorice ice cream?
We did do licorice.
You ate it all.
Yeah, I did.
It's, I mean, I think, you know, over the years, we sort of have introduced a few flavours a year, usually. Haven't done this year because we're sort of concentrated on the vegan range and the dog ice cream.
Right.
But I think, you know, we've always actually sort of we've spoken to the public, we've had suggestions, we've tried them, or we've met other, you know, a lot of the ingredients we use as other artisan producers, like Fudge Kitchen, supply us with some things, wooden spoon.
Right.
So we try and sort of work with other artisan producers and utilise their products. So that's where the sort of flavours come from. But
right. Yeah. Cool. I guess right at the moment in the summer, in a hot summer like we're having at the moment, I don't know, I go to my local supermarket and all the ice cream shelves are completely empty, all the ice lollies are gone and everything. I guess you're really busy at the moment?
Yeah, the last sort of 10 days have been a bit manic.
Right, yeah. Okay, cool. Yes. And you're making it by hand, you're not doing it all yourself, are you?
No, we've got a team, right. there's 6 girls in production,
right.
And then we have warehouse and office staff and drivers.
Right, cool.
Although we're doing an awful lot of deliveries ourselves at the moment as well.
Fantastic. And you got one distribution franchise in Suffolk, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. Cool. And you're looking for others around the UK?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yep. Anybody out there in the rest of the UK that fancies distributing some of the world's...
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah, no, you'd be pointless because nobody would ever get it. She'd just eat it on the way there. There'll be one for me, one for you, one for me, one for you.
You've got to keep trying it and make sure.
Yeah, give me that. I just want to make sure it's okay.
Because now I've demolished my big garage.
You've got room.
No.
You could put an outdoor freezer.
No, I've lost all my freezer space. So, you know all the plums I've got, I'm going to be... freezing them, but I've got to take them around to my mum's.
Don't you make plum ice cream? Do you make plum ice cream?
Yeah, you could have Kentish plum ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sally, thank you so much for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure. I'm blown away by both of you and the things you've achieved, you know, and these throwaway, like, oh, I just qualified as a lawyer and then I did this and then I went to Australia and then I did this and then I
had a couple of babies.
Yeah, had a few kids.
Whipped up some ice cream.
A few kids here and there and then, you know. Fantastic. I'm just so full of admiration.
Made a brown bread one and a dog one.
Yeah. But it's such an inspiring story and a fantastic product. And it's one of the products that we're very proud of in Kent, that you know, you're a Kent producer. You know, it's just fantastic stuff. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
if people want to... order it online, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so you can go onto the website, which is www.simplyicecream.co.uk, and there's a shop
fantastic
tab. Yes.
Brilliant. Sally, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. And I'm sorry I couldn't indulge you. Amanda, I didn't eat any. I didn't.
No.
Jules kept wafting it in front of me, but I resisted.
Yeah, but you didn't with the Krispy Kremes, did you? That Billy
Dean see, you had to give that away, didn't you?
How many was that?
I had one.
Anyway, Sarah Marsh Collins, Collings has
Collings.
Tweeted in with her lovely Spanish Breton, spaniel-y looking doggy, and she says that she had to bribe her Spanish Breton rescue with vintage cheddar cheese, nothing but vintage, of course. When he first came to me, and he's a real cheese monster, and it doesn't seem to have hurt him.
Well, it's French, isn't he?
Yeah,
what do you expect?
Mais oui. Yeah. Bit of camembert.
Cheesy in syringe, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, but he's a lovely dog. He's there sitting under the desk and he's got his little paws draped over what looks like the desk legs or the chair legs.
Talking of cheese, Peregrine Drones have been on.
Are they cheesy?
And they say Vanilla Web, possibly your finest musical fromage of 2022. I thought cheesy, and they just said hashtag cheesy tunes, and I thought my cheesy tune choice was very good.
Well, let me tell the Peregrine Drones, there was a man, I was sitting on the beach last night about 9 o'clock, I finished work and I went down for a little dip, and I will be doing that again tonight. And I was sitting in my bikini, which is not a pretty sight really, and I had a little beer, and this drone was buzzing. I could hear this buzzing noise all over me. It was really annoying. I was going, nyee. I was like a big, you know, mosquito.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was right over me. And I thought, it's looking at me in my bikini. And I feel that was an invasion of my privacy sitting on the beach. And they sometimes fly over our back garden. And so I gave it a V signal and it flew off.
Did you?
I thought, if it's filming me, so I just was doing that and it flew off. Because it shouldn't be filming me on the beach, should it? It's outrageous. So I'm not saying Peregrine Drones do that because I know that they're very professional, but your average, you know, drone body, you know, your old...
Could have been the Russians.
Could have been a Russian.
Yeah, it could have been surveying you for a bomb site.
Yeah, maybe. Did you hear about the Ukraine plane that went down in Greece?
No.
A Ukrainian plane went down in Greece. It sounds like a poem, that, doesn't it?
Mm.
Or a limerick. Ukrainian plane went down in Greece, and it was on its way to Bangladesh, and it flew out the sky, and it was carrying arms to Bangladesh. I find that spooky. You didn't hear anything about that on Twitter.
Mm-mm.
So obviously didn't make mainstream media.
Absolutely. You had a tweet from DG East. How about a shout out? He's still upset about this. How about a shout out for a business still being sucked dry by the leeches at the FCA? That's the Financial Conduct Authority.
The leeches.
Yeah, well, they suddenly up, you know, because we don't have a cost of living crisis or anything, do we? They suddenly put the prices of a financial licence up by 380%.
It's very difficult, isn't it, for SMEs and small businesses that are trying, just trying to recover what they've lost during pandemic and lockdowns and that. And then it's like nobody seems to want to help.
One of the problems with government politicians and the people that come up with these harebrained schemes for businesses is they don't think about the implications for smaller businesses. Yeah. I don't want to get into a rant about it, but one of the things that you've got to be wary of, a lot of the regulations are actually asked for by big businesses, because they know small businesses can't deal with it and they don't like the competition from innovative businesses. So they ask the government to put in like health and safety things, things that they can do because they're a multi-million pound business, but you can't do because you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And then these regulations get put in place and you can, well, you know, how's the average person supposed to manage this? It's just, you know, and it's just, it's like GDPR, yeah? It's not a huge deal in terms of the cost, but you have to have an ICO license every year, and it's just a faff to do it. And you go, well, you know, I don't even send anyone an email. Well, you know, but no, you've got to do it just in case you've got someone's name and address.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to ask Claudette, actually, what is the difference? Have you noticed the difference between having a business dealing with the council and everything in Thanet and having one in Canterbury? Is there a difference?
Yeah, there is a difference. I mean, because I think Canterbury is a city, in broad sense, like the council, you can get through sort of and speak to
you
someone.
You can speak to a person.
Yeah, but you just don't get that. It's very impersonal. Mm. Not that it's very personal, sort of in Thanet, but there is just that feel that you can...
A bit more hands-on.
It is a bit more hands-on.
You can talk to Rob...
on Twitter,
but then he tells you to do one, because Jules and I quite often have little conversations with our Rob from Canterbury City Council.
He can get very uppity.
He gets a bit shirty, doesn't he, eventually.
I'm not sure why he's head of their social media. He was very nice about my mum's dustbins not being collected, and has Betty's been collected?
They didn't empty her dustbin again.
How many weeks is that now?
Seven.
Yeah, because my mum was the same. I got her assisted. She's 91. She's very sprightly, but I got her assisted because she got a little hill.
Yeah, same with mine.
And she kept falling over and breaking things. And so I got her. And they, first week, they collected it. Second week, they forgot it.
Yeah.
Another week, they collected it. Second week, and it's just crazy. And I was always phoning up, and they said to me, Canterbury City Council, oh, we'll flag this up. If you give us a ring, if it happens again, we'll flag it up. I said, I'm flagging it up now. I don't want to have to ring you. And I had to ring them three times. But they were quite good on Twitter with that as a DM.
Yeah, you know. The problem is when you watch the guys that collect the rubbish is, of course, they run along the street and they just pick up the beans and chuck them in the back. They don't read their work schedule where they have to walk up a path every now and again and get in the bin. Yeah, and so
they've got apparently a tablet in their van.
Yeah, they have. What I think happens is you have a different crew on and then they don't look and whatever but it happens all the time.
Well, I was ranting with them this morning, did you see? Because we, obviously with the weather, we've been taking the Darcy Greyhound for a walk at like 9-10 at night, and there were people coming off the beach. The beach is really crowded in Tankerton. And all the loos are closed.
Yeah.
So they're all like weeing in bushes and all over. I had to let someone use my loo because they were desperate. And I think in summer they need to leave them open, and maybe we need to bring back spend a penny and just have a pay 5p or whatever.
The trouble in this country, and I know it happens in other places, but it's particularly bad in this country. If you have a public toilet, it always gets trashed. It always gets vandalised, and you think, oh,
what is that? And they steal toilet rolls. Steal toilet rolls.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but the worst thing, GB News, I've had to experience a transgender loo, so it's all in one. Awful.
You had to dress up as a bloke to go in it.
No, I didn't. No. But, you know, you want to put your lippy on as a woman and that, and there's men don't leave toilets the same way that ladies do. On the whole, you know, not all men, of course. But,
or not on the whole.
But, or not on the whole. Good one. But, like, no, it's not a place that you want to fiddle about with your hair and put your lipstick on afterwards, because there's all blokes, you know, coming in and farting and things.
Thank you for that. And, I have to be fair to Rob. He was very nice to me when they trapped me in one of their car parks.
Did they trap you again?
Yeah, I got trapped in Castle Row.
Why was that? Because what annoys me about Kent, why aren't all car parks, why isn't their system all the same in all the car parks? Some have got cameras, some have got, you know, you never know.
Well, Castle Row is an ANPR website.
Yeah,
so it's a camera website.
Yeah,
I park there because that's the only one I can park in these days close to where I work.
Because they've closed the Rosemary Lane, which is still empty. Why can't you just...
Do you know, they haven't sold that yet.
You're joking.
It's been closed 2 years. The site is up for sale. And I found out the other
day... Why don't you buy it and turn it into a car park?
I found out the other day they still haven't sold it. And I'm going, so why is it closed? Yeah. Why close it for 2 years?
When they need revenue.
Anyway, I parked in Castle Row, ANPR. I went to buy my ticket to get out, and the machine's just doesn't respond. Mm. Yeah, what you do is you put your number plate in, it searches your number plate, it tells you how many...
So you're having to do it on the thing?
Yeah, it says how many minutes... That's how you always buy the ticket to get out. Yeah. It tells you how many minutes you've been there and the fact that you need a mortgage to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 18 quid to park to go to work. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Anyway, I put it in, and it just didn't do anything. And there was a Dutch couple next to me going, how does these things work? And I go, well, I don't know. It's not working at the moment. I'm trying to make it work. Couldn't make it work. There's a huge queue. Everybody's trying to make these machines work. There's two machines. Neither of them worked. So eventually I tweet. And luckily Rob was there because he's used to us. You know, they got a little thing there that says if Paul or Jules tweets, send it to Rob. And he went, yeah, sorry, mate. The machine got hit by lightning last night. Really? He went, yeah, it got hit by lightning and it's offline. Well, how the hell do we get out of the car park? He went, just drive at the barrier. And I went, okay. He said, it should open.
God.
Right, it did. Yeah.
Because the Herne Bay one, it just takes a photo. I registered once years ago and now I just zoom in and zoom out. It's lovely. I love it. Yeah. But I got trapped in another one the other day. And then the Meadow one, what's it called, by the cinema?
Yeah.
Which is my favourite because I park there. There's usually parking. You can just go down the underpass towards Phoenix, and that one I find the Wi-Fi is really bad, so I try and do the Ringo app, and sometimes the Wi-Fi doesn't let me because it's so bad.
That annoys me. I mean,
a whole parking show, Paul Andrews.
Well, a lot of councils have started to move away from parking apps, but the annoying thing is I've got like seven different parking apps on my phone.
Well, that's what I mean. Why can there not be one thing nationwide?
Well, you can have different parking companies and different things, but why don't they have like Link? You can use any ATM machine, to get money out of, no matter what account you've got. Why can't you use any parking app once?
Well, you can use any ATM machine at the moment to get money out until the big great reset. Then it may not be so easy.
Well, you won't have money then.
No. What will we have?
Yeah.
Nothing.
A tinfoil hat.
We'll have nothing and we'll be happy.
Yeah.
Nothing
exactly.
And we'll be happy.
Yeah.
As long as Sally still makes her ice cream, I'll be fine.
You don't care. You couldn't give it to us.
Be in a hammock, eating ice cream.
You get a tub of ice cream, you go and sit in Houdini's bar, and you just couldn't care less about the rest of the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
It's all magic.
Talking about things, Casey K9 has tweeted...
What's he saying?
Well, they're talking to you for some reason.
Is he love lost?
Yeah. Hi, Jules. Please can I have a shout out for a very hot greyhound being confined to barracks by Doris and the Egypt?
Yeah, because it's too hot for them.
Yeah.
They have to do, well, actually, Darcy Greyhound, you can tell Casey Canine, she paddled yesterday, and I don't think greyhounds are renowned for paddling.
Right.
She went in the sea. Yeah,
blimey.
So that was very good. I've had a lovely retweet from Ken Heron over there in Florida.
Oh, hello, Karen. I was chatting to Ken yesterday on email.
Were you?
Yeah.
Or he might be in Singapore.
He's in Singapore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a lovely chap.
Yeah.
We're talking about dogs and sprats now. We've gone from ice cream now onto sprats.
Right. I think we ought to read some emails before the show runs out.
Yeah, okay. The fact you've gone up at the end there like an Australian, I can sense.
Did you like
your
that?
Hysteria, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So Southeast England Virtual Network.
Sally's Australian, not me.
She's not.
She's an Australian citizen.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. So you're English, but yeah. You got your... How does it help you get around the world?
I think I could probably go to New Zealand.
Okay.
I could probably go to New Zealand.
Nice.
But no, it doesn't.
Oh, okay. So why did you do it? Is your husband Australian?
No. I was living there at the time. I thought I was going to stay there.
So have you got dual
nationality? Yeah, and the kids have got it too.
Because if anyone's listening, I'm looking for a European to marry, so I could get a European. Because coming back from Moira, we went
Can't you dig up some Irish grandparents?
That's what I need.
That's what most people do.
Yeah, because coming back with Ryanair, a lovely crew, really nice crew, going out, they're on strike. There was no trolley service. So I'm sitting there, had my own meal, little salad I'd packed because their meals I can't eat. And they weren't serving. I was waiting for the wine to come around. They were on strike. There was no trolley service. Can you imagine? But but coming back, zoomed through. I didn't have any luggage. So zoomed through security. And then they make you stand in a queue for nearly 50 minutes. Where they're checking, stamping your passport as you actually boarding. So the crew are doing it. So you think you've come through everything and you've got time to mince around and get a coffee and that, but you haven't. And you literally, we stood up 50 minutes to board the plane and be stamped because of Brexit.
Right. Well, I did ask you to read an email. Instead, we got a political rant. So,
Southeast England Virtual Networking is on Tuesday, the 2nd of August, between 12 and 1 o'clock. It's virtual, and it's the first week of each month, and they bring you a free-to-attend virtual networking for businesses in and around the southeast of England.
Cool. Have you thought about liaising with schools and colleges to discuss business and entrepreneurship?
I have.
The Kent Enterprise Advisor Network is looking for enterprise advisors to work with schools to encourage the development of key business skills. If you'd like to find out more, go to www.kelsi.org.uk/skills and employability.
There's a new co-working office space that's opened its doors in Maidstone.
Oh, yeah.
And it's for those looking to upgrade from working at home. It's called Unity Co-working, and it operates from Trade Fair House in Enterprise Road, which is just south of the town centre. And they say flexible working spaces have become increasingly more popular since the pandemic has dramatically changed the way we work. And this is Kirsty Wood. She's a commercial manager and director at the site. And they offer a range of hot desks and small offices. And she said that we found that whilst people enjoy the easier pace of life and freedom that working from home gives them, they're also struggling with problems such as not having a suitable space to work, too many distractions, poor connectivity, and even finding that their mental health is suffering as a result of having less interaction with people. So I haven't got the website for that, Paul Andrews, but it's Unity Co-working and details will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Yeah, it was interesting because that was launched on this radio show.
Was it?
Well, no, it wasn't launched. It was touted as an idea. Do you remember Will Wood, who's Kirsty's husband, an accountant?
Yeah.
He said live on the radio he was thinking about opening a co-working space in Maidstone.
And he did.
And they have done exactly that.
Well, on my journey here to the Ashford, they are building loads on sort of the Faversham thing on the left, loads of small office space and stuff. So it's obviously a trend.
Yeah. There's an ethnic minority-led virtual business networking group taking place on Thursday the 28th of July, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada, you can find out all about it and book your place on it. I think this one's chaired by Jason Roberts, I think. The day before, there's Kent Virtual Networking on Wednesday the 27th of July, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And again, all the details can be found on kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
A derelict arcade. I do love a derelict arcade.
I beg your pardon?
Arcade. Described as a long-running sore. Could start to be redeveloped this year, council bosses are saying. This is Herne Bay.
Right.
A number of bidders have lodged offers for the rundown shell of the old Tivoli Amusements in Central Parade, Herne Bay. And it's been on the market by CCC, Canterbury City Council. The seafront site is up for sale, which includes the Beach Street car park behind.
Yeah.
Already has
you
planning...
like a car park, don't you?
I love a car park.
Get in there.
Already has planning permission for 3 shops and 31 homes.
Home and a car park.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. I reckon they'll build the homes on the car park, won't they? That's what they're going to do.
I would imagine so.
Will they have any parking?
I don't know if we got an email about it. I saw a thing about in Ashford have just approved plans to build a hotel. And in it, it says there's no car parking.
That's ridiculous. Bonkers.
Who stays in a hotel with no car park?
Well, they want us all to go around on those scootery things.
E-scooters, sorry, Sally.
Where's it going
to
be?
I'm trying to remember where it is. It's somewhere in central Ashford. Along, I don't know what the name of the road is. The road that the international station's on. And the bowling alley and all of that. And the reason I think it's somewhere along there is because they said, we've got no car parking, but you could park in the car park, in a council car park opposite. I can't remember what the building used to be. I can't remember. Are you a standout small business that has achieved constant growth? Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells Business Awards 2022. Enter for free now. The categories are creative digital, customer service, innovation, startup, small business, businesswoman of the year, family business, and construction business. For details and entry form, businessawardskent.co.uk. And the awards ceremony is in December. That's a bit of a mistake, isn't it?
December.
Yeah, we're gonna get heavily tied up in the Christmas dinner business, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, I hope they've got. Sorry?
You could have your Christmas party.
Could have your Christmas party. That's probably a very good idea. Yeah. What you got, Jules?
Sorry, they were talking about sprats for dogs now.
Sprats?
I give my dog sprats every night. She has...
Are they still a thing?
With a kibble, yeah. I don't eat them. The dog has them.
I haven't seen sprats for years.
Yeah. Did you used to have them on toast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, these are dog sprats, but they're probably the same. They're probably highly edible.
I didn't like them, but my nan used to make me have them.
I know. My mum used to... we used to do lovely things. We used to toast bread on the fire and have dripping.
Oh, toast and dripping.
Toast
yes,
and dripping.
Please.
I still have dripping, actually.
The nectar of the angels, that.
I still cook with dripping.
Do you?
Yeah, from my roast.
That's not a nice thing to call you, right?
there's a new variety of plum, and you saw my tree was laden.
She's
bountiful.
She's flaunting this, isn't she? Yeah, the fact that her plums
you've
are ripe.
Got old green ones.
Yeah.
But we do have a microclimate in Whitstable. There's a new variety of plum, Paul Andrews, which is bred in the county, and it's been unveiled. And it's an early season Marling Elizabeth. Is it Marling or Marling?
Marling.
Marling Elizabeth.
Marling.
Marling Elizabeth.
West Marling, East Marling. Marling.
Marling. That should have a W.
She also does Egerton, which is Item.
But Malling.
And Trotterscliff, which is Trosley. Yeah.
That's Malling.
It's Marling. It's Marling. East Marling.
It would have a W in it.
East Marling.
Like when a dog mauls.
You're from Essex. It's East Marling.
East Marling Elizabeth, it's called. So it's a Marling Elizabeth.
Yeah.
It's the latest fruit to emerge from the NIAB, which is the National Institute of Agricultural Botany in East Marling.
Well done.
The latest fruit from Marling Fruits. This is hell for me. The marketing brand for NIABS, that's the National Institute of Agricultural Botany, varieties, follows in the footsteps of its successful strawberries and raspberries. Very Kentish. Using a combination of traditional techniques and genomics.
Mm-hmm.
Assisted breeding.
Genomic.
Yeah. I was just thinking of, haven't you got a gnome to go to?
Yeah,
Bowie.
Yeah.
Genomics, assisted breeding. Oh, that doesn't sound nice. NIAB, the National Institute of Agricultural botany, supports the development of disease-resistant, high-quality varieties designed to deliver improved yield, fruit size and quality, lower fruit wastage, easier picking and season extension. So lovely. It's the Mauling Elizabeth, it's called.
Fantastic. We got time for just one more email and then we're at the end of the show. We're inviting Kent-based designers and makers to submit their work for the 5th Designers and Makers Christmas Fair held at the Turner Contemporary in Margate. It will take place on Saturday the 3rd and Sunday the 4th of December. 22 artists will be selected to show their work in one of the most visited cultural venues in Kent whilst having the opportunity to sell directly to customers. The reason that we're talking about this now is you have to submit your stuff now to be awarded a place for the event in December. So to submit your work for a chance to join them, if you go to www.kentcreative.org, you can do so there. You can find out all about it and submit your work there. We've reached the end of another show.
We have, and I'm just thinking, when you go home, you're going to dive in your pool, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, I'm going to go and dive in the sea.
Are you?
I'll eat some plums first, though. I've got lots, you know.
Will you?
Lovely red juicy ones.
Don't eat too many.
How are yours
doing? Don't eat too many because the whaling ships are out. And
Whaling ships?
They quite often sail up to Tankerton because they've had reports, mate.
Anyway, they're lovely plums in Whitstable.
Absolutely.
Shame about yours.
Yeah, well, I shall ignore my green plums and jump into my pool. Yeah. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors, the lovely folks at Potter's Home Digital. Thank you so much to our two fabulous guests, Claudette Watson of Houdini's Magic Bar, Sally Muir of Simply Ice Cream, my stonkingly gorgeous co-host Jill Serkin. We'll be back with another show next week. Enjoy the remnants of the sun. It's due to rain later, isn't it? It's all over now. That's the summer gone. That was it. 2 days of a bit of a panic. We all got burnt and then back to rain. We'll be back with another show next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.